Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
With Edith Mary Stanley. And throughout her journey, Edith has developed a deep and profound relationship with the angelic presence. She talks about help with healing process. It's just not her psychic work, but it's also her art, and she does tarot. And she was here with us last year talking about her book, Tarot for Dummies, or close to that. And she feels blessed to be used by spirit in many ways. And she's a blessing with us here tonight because she's going to be talking about psychic development and mediumship. Now, this would be a great time for all of you who have questions about mediumship and psychic development. So if you're in the Para X chat room, send me a private message with your questions and comments. And if you want to live dangerously, you can put them in the main chat room and hope I see them before they scroll up and out of my sight. And if you'd like to be in the Para X chat room, join us at paraxradionetwork.com. So Edith, hi, welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me. I feel honored.
Well, you shouldn't, but I'm glad you do. But this is a topic that, you know, I hear a lot about. I mean, I'm not a medium, but people are always asking questions mm-hmm. about mediumship, psychic development. When did those two things show up in your life? How did you realize that you had the gift of mediumship and psychic?
Well, I had a lot of experience as a child of having going to places that in the real world didn't exist, in the human world didn't exist. And they turned out I was visiting places that I don't know whether it was the astral or whatever, but you know, when you go play with someone in a house that turns out to not be there the following day, your parents kind of look at you like, sure. And so I had a lot of experiences like that. But during my teenage years, I just wanted to turn it off. So because I wanted to be normal.
Normal, yeah.
And I got over that in my 20s and then wound up going to a spiritualist church. That's first I had heard of mediumship. And that's kind of like where the journey started, was massage school, Reiki master, spiritualist church. Each step of the journey just builds on the one before that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I moved to Texas that I actually realized I could do tarot. And then all of a sudden it's like, ooh, dead people are showing up. Wow.
When you do tarot, and I mean, just as a question, some people say that they get their inspiration or their answers from spirit when you're doing tarot. Mm-hmm. Other people say that they're looking at the deck and they're just reading what they see and they think it's their own intuition. Is it kind of a combination? I mean, do we get help when we're reading?
Oh, always. If all you're doing is reading the cards and the symbols on the cards, you're kind of like missing the other part of it, because sometimes say, for instance, the five of coins means one thing to one client and something entirely different to another client, and it's only your intuition that tells you what it actually means, or you're channeling that from spirit. And so if all you're doing is reading the symbols, great, wonderful, that means a lot. But there is this other component. Some people call it the psychic, some people call it channeling, some people call it intuition. I don't know what it is, but I get information and they're like, no, you see that little symbol over here that you never noticed before? That's what's important now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's true, because if you pulled the card, and there were 10 people, you were doing a simultaneous reading for 10 people, and you pull a card, that card is going to mean something different to each one of them.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of fascinating that some people will just think, well, I'm getting it, and yeah, I don't need spirit to help me. Well, that's about the time spirit should whack them in the head and say,
that's about the time I do get whacked in the head is when I say stuff like that.
Oh, you dare say
I got them covered.
Oh, I wouldn't even dare do that, because no, I'd be afraid.
Yeah,
more than a whack in the head.
I learned the hard way with a traffic ticket once, and it's like, okie dokie, I'll be listening from now on.
They warned you of when impending traffic ticket, and you didn't pay
attention. One of my guys did so much as to grab the steering wheel to pull me into a McDonald's, and I said, no, I don't want to go there, and I grabbed it back, and just clear as day I heard, okay. not 50 feet was a police officer with a radar gun who got me with a $270 traffic ticket.
Uh-huh.
And I hear laughter in the back seat, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, some of us have very serious guides, and others have ones with great senses of humor.
Mine not so much with just sense of humor. Mine are the ones with the baseball bats.
Oh, I was going to say, sometimes I think mine are, I can hear them headbanging against the wall.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, we have seven, according to which tradition you follow. There are seven spirit guides with us at any given time. Mm-hmm. And they're joy guides that remind you to not take life too seriously. Your gatekeeper, which, you know, that's would be like your guardian angel, and a few others. And so, I mean, they each have their purpose. And if you take all of them seriously, you're missing the point.
Yeah. Well, I tell people that, you know, you can call on guides, and just like doctors, they all have specialties. And
exactly.
So if you need somebody to do something, you know, about real estate, for example, well, then call on that guide, ask for that guide. And it doesn't have to be somebody that's always with you, but if you call and ask, you receive.
Oh, definitely. So, I have a parking lot angel who gets parking spots, like primo spots, right up front by the door all the time.
Damn.
And all I do is ask.
I think that all of yours like you very much.
No.
Sometimes
either
I ask.
That or they think I'm helpless.
Well, either way, you get it through. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm just not sure. But I mean, I know that they're around. And that's something important when we're talking about psychic stuff and development. When we talk about spirit guides, we all have them. And it's, you know, you don't have to acknowledge them. You don't have to know their names. But it's really nice to do that. It's nice to acknowledge them when something goes, you've asked for something and you get it. Thank them. I mean, let them know. They don't have egos like we do. You know, they're not going to sit there and go, oh, my God, they don't pay attention to me. Uh-oh. Well, there might be one
or two. Gratitude isn't for the other person or your spirit guides, just like forgiveness isn't for the other person. It's for you.
Right.
It's for you to acknowledge that, to acknowledge where that gift came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think it's important because, you know, honestly, they're like family. They are family. Otherwise, they wouldn't care. So, you know, I talk to them a lot, and sometimes I hear them and sometimes I don't. And sometimes, I mean, I've told this story, but I'll tell you really quick. I had stopped meditating for a very long time. And a friend of mine, Kenny Kingston, said, you know, you better start doing that again, please. And I said, okay, I will. And I was home alone. It was midnight. I lit a candle. I'm sitting in front of the computer and, you know, just at my desk. And I closed my eyes and I started to meditate. And just as I did that, I felt two hands on my shoulders, like somebody behind me and giving me that kind of that little squeeze, like, okay, we got it. That's good. And so, yeah, you know,
we're glad you're back.
Yeah, glad you're back. It's good I didn't get the slap in the head. But yeah, I mean, they're there, they'll help us, and there are signs that they're there. And, you know, people say, well, how do I know that I have one, and how do I know, you know, if they're around? What do you tell people when they say that?
Well, you have one because everybody has one, and you're not left out by any means. And how do you contact them? Is you stop, you take a deep breath, you close your eyes, and you say, hi, can you tell me your name? What are you? What do you do? You know, are you an angelic presence? Are you a human that has decided to be a guide? You just talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, the reason you close your eyes is to shut out the external world. Right. Otherwise, we're looking at stuff.
Yeah. No, I always tell people when you shut off one sense, the other ones are heightened.
Exactly.
And vision is one that'll really distract you no matter what.
That's why the dark is so scary.
Well, that too, yes. All right, so let me jump over to psychic abilities for a minute, because in order to develop them, we first need to realize and recognize that we do have them. And one question that I hear all the time is, are we all born with psychic ability?
Yes, we are. Children, animals, from the time they're children up to the time they learn the word no, which is generally about the age of 3 or 4. When we keep reinforcing, no, don't do that. No, don't touch that. They still see angelic beings. They still look past you at something behind you. And you're like, what? And as we become more aware of the human world, we lose touch with them. They're still there. It's a matter of bringing your awareness back when you're ready.
Yeah, I mean, so many people are saying, you know, they talk to an imaginary friend or something and their parents, well, there is no such thing. And there is no such thing as ghosts. And, you know, I mean, it's not so much the real world around us, maybe, that, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's parents, it's family that yeah. don't believe in it. And they think that a child should not be a free thinker. You know,
exactly. And the movie The Other,
yeah,
with Nicole Kidman and mm-hmm. a bunch of other people. She really wanted to remember yeah. is about a haunted house. She lives in this house where the realities overlap, and so the modern day mixes with the her time, and they're each ghosts to each other. So that's what children see, is they see the realities and the dimensions overlapping. And that's what we lose when we become more aware of the human existence and what we try desperately to get back as we're older. And some people never lose it, but, you know,
well,
most people
that's
do.
I mean, you get to a point as a child, as you're growing, that you do try to not follow everything your parents tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to the metaphysical, fortunately, my family was into it big time. It was never a problem. But other people's parents would, you know, think they were crazy and there's no such thing and everything. And I feel sorry for the people that can't step away and actually open up to it. They don't have to jump into it with both feet, but at least find out that it's there. There's another, the metaphysical world does exist, and things happen there that don't necessarily happen here on Earth. And I feel really bad for people that just think that what they were taught by a parent in that respect scared them so much that they would never investigate on their own.
That falls into the category of sins of the father. It is not a sin so much as it is the biases and prejudices and thought patterns of our parents are ingrained in us from the time we're born.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we hit grade school, it's kind of like all over. Your core beliefs have been set at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a shame, kind of, because mm-hmm. they miss out, you know. I mean, when people live in black and white world, they miss all the beautiful things that happen in the gray.
They do. They certainly do.
Yeah. Got a comment from the chat room, a comment and a question. She says, when she's doing psychic work, sometimes she doesn't use any cards or aids. She relies on her guides And she says, I sometimes get a deceased relative or friend for the client that I'm reading. Usually they have a message for them. I don't claim to be a medium, but is there a way to control that, work on getting visual sense of them? I don't call them in, they just show up.
If you don't want to see dead people, state it before you start working. Because not all mediums are psychic, but all psychics are mediums. You have to turn that portion off. And that is, can be difficult to turn off one, the other. I have a friend of mine who's been doing this since birth. She literally holds up her hand and she says, go away, if they won't talk to her the way she understands. And they go away. And I have found that works for here for myself as well. It's like, I can't hear you, go away. And if I don't want, I had a deceased one that was trying to show me how she died. And it was related to what I do in real life. And I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Sorry, I'm not going to take a look at that. You need to go someplace else. Mm-hmm. You just literally turn them away. Turn and say, you ask your spirit guides, especially your main gatekeeper, do not allow this in my presence.
Mm-hmm. And that's really important for people to know, that you do have control. You don't mm-hmm. have to just sit back and see what's going on around you. I mean, you know, it's your body, it's your things that you're thinking about, it's what you're doing. And, you know, sometimes even people get really kind of belligerent and say, get the heck out of here, you know, not quite that way. But if you set the ground rules, a friend of mine told this a long time ago, if you set the ground rules, you're in charge, it's not a bad thing.
Exactly, not at all. And there's no hard and fast rule that they have to leave you alone,
right?
But they do.
Yeah.
they're like, oh, okay, I'll go over here then.
Yeah. I think in general, a lot of us just don't trust our judgment. We don't trust ourselves when we're in that area, right?
Yes, exactly. I have a young lady that I work with on a regular basis, and she's all the time, she goes, is this me or is it my imagination? I said, it's whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. If you want it to be you, then yeah, it was a message. But you have to have the confidence that your guides are giving it to you, and you can say it, and you know that it's true. The client or whomever you're doing this for doesn't, they may well be in total denial and go, nope, you're wrong. That's not true. That doesn't apply. Nope, you're fake. No, you're not. They just aren't making that connection. I've had a number of clients come back to me a couple of weeks later, go, oh, you were right after all. And I'm like, yep, I was. So you have to have absolute faith that it is not your imagination. You get what you get and you give it back out to the client.
Yeah, and they don't realize at the time, well, some of them don't want to hear it. I mean, you'll tell them something and they really don't want to hear it, so they'll deny it anyway in that respect.
Oh, God, yes.
But it's a thing that, you know, happens when we work it. But you
it's
know,
what I mean, we do. It's what we do as human beings, because things always have to work for us, right?
Mm-hmm. And then again, talking with spirit. Okay, you hear something from spirit to pass on to somebody else. You have no clue what it, you know, what it's about, and the other person may not understand, because I, in working with spirits, they can be very cryptic at times.
Yes.
They don't get to the point. You know, it's. I mean, all right.
I was reading for a lady, because you know we do the show on Wednesday nights, and so one of the people that had come in on Facebook asked us to talk to her father, and what we heard was, hold on, I got to go to the bathroom. And we're like, what the hell? And she started laughing. She goes, that was my dad. He always looked for a bathroom because he had prostate trouble. And I'm like, oh, made sense to her, but it was totally off the wall to us, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they speak to us in very strange ways sometimes, and we don't always get it. We're not supposed to get it. It's not for us. It's for the client.
Yeah, okay. So here's one of questions for me that I have not been able to figure out yet, is the spirits, and this happened two nights ago, the spirits that wake you up from a sound sleep by screaming your name in your ear. And, I mean, I heard that loud and clear, and I woke up and said, what? Like that, you know? I mean, it came out of the blue, but then they're gone. They don't, you know, it's like somebody's pulling a prank. Somebody is popping in and popping out. I mean, I've had messages that I understood and took care of, but this yelling in your ear and then not responding if you ask. Well, I didn't ask politely. I was kind of grouchy about it.
Yeah, of course not.
But
I have them wake me up every now and again by knocking on my bedroom wall. This is an interior wall too. So,
yeah.
And I'm like, what? Are you there? You know, in order to hear them, you have to stay in that twilight sleep. And when they're screaming at you or calling your name, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. You can't stay in that state.
No.
And I don't really think if they're going to wake you up in a violent manner anyway, I don't necessarily think it's more of a elemental or fairy kind of trick magic.
Yeah, a trickster doing that. Yeah, it really is annoying. I mean, this has been a really busy week for me because two nights in a row there was knocking on my door. And it's a glass door so you can hear. And the first night it was like four knocks. And I can see through the glass if somebody is standing there, and nobody was. And I just, but it wasn't scary. It wasn't loud. It wasn't anything. I was just like, oh, okay, somebody's trying to be polite. And then the next night it was two knocks, you know. And it's like, okay, well, maybe, okay, I know that you want attention and I know that you're there, but I really wish I knew who you were. Because two nights in a row that it's the same person coming back, but like maybe somebody too shy to want to go any farther than that, but just know that, you know, maybe I can figure it out in my brain. I don't know.
A lot of times it is an entity trying to come through. They're newly dead. They don't have a clue how to talk to someone on our side.
Yeah, true. I thought about that too. So yeah, it could have been that, but it was just, you know, I didn't mind the knocking and I knew it wasn't me because the cat was sound asleep and looking, you know, who's at the door.
Yeah.
But that it was this woman with this really shrill, loud voice. And I mean, you know, I had to fight fire with fire because.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you scream at somebody, that's an attack. So, yeah.
All right.
I had to go so far as to once state to my spirit guides, do not allow anything in my bedroom after dark.
Good thinking. That's always a good thought. Mm-hmm. Got a question from chat, but I think I already know your answer. But anyway, she wants to know how we become spirit guides.
Sometimes when you have like a grandmother or great grandmother, and they cross over, they're not really done. And they realize you need help, so they volunteer to become a special guide for you. And so it's because they come like a co-gatekeeper or a co-guardian angel. And then sometimes when they go to wherever it is they go, when they cross over, whatever beings or entities or angelic beings are there, said, no, this person needs you still. You need to go. So sometimes it's volunteers, sometimes it's an assignment. I find it more rare than common that an ancestor becomes a spirit guide. They can pop in and out. That always pop in and out as long as they haven't reincarnated. But I find it rare that they've been assigned to you. Sometimes they just don't want to leave, and it's more like a haunting.
Yeah. See, now I always thought that spirit guides were never human, but that human spirits can come and help us out too, which is what you just said. But a true spirit guide is like a different.
Yeah, a true spirit guide is more along the lines of an angelic being or an entity that is never incarnated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got another question from the chat room. She said, at times, do you get your messages through symbols or an item shown to you by the spirit? And how common do you think this might be? She says, I ask because this happens to me more often than not.
Okay. A lot of time my messages, I always have a pen and a journal handy because when I'm talking, like now, or reading for a client, I will be told, draw this, draw that, and I'd start automatic drawing. In the automatic drawing comes symbols that mean something to the client. Sometimes they'll show me wedding bands, flowers. They'll show me rocks inside of gardens, like you need to go here, pick up that, that kind of thing. A lot of times they'll show me how they died,
mm-hmm.
which can be upsetting, to say the least.
Yeah.
So, but that might be the only way that some people understand.
Yeah, and I mean, lots of times they just have to get something off their chest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I get messages from spirit and sometimes maybe guides, because guides need to have somebody to talk to also sometimes.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, they say things that make absolutely no sense, but it's something that they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to listen.
I have one girl that regularly shows up in the same outfit for the same, you know, and it's like, this doesn't make any sense to someone until you put the little pieces together. She keeps showing up week after week after week, and little more of the pieces are starting to come together of who she belongs to and who she was in life. So it's a matter of sometimes just they need to learn how to step down their energy to talk.
You know, I was told my grandmother, my dad's mom, used to do automatic writing when I was a kid. And she didn't share it or anything. I mean, she lived in another state. But as I got a little bit older, she talked to me at one point. And she said, this is what she talked to this man for years, the same entity, the same person, the same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he told her, he said, in order for us to communicate, I have to slow down my vibrations and you have to speed up yours. And yep. We meet somewhere in the middle.
That is why meditation is so very important, because it raises your vibrational level so that we can hear them better.
Yeah. And it's not tricky to do, I think. I think you just have to know that you can do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh God, yeah.
Goes back
there
to
there are a ton of meditations on YouTube on just that very thing: raising your vibrational level, meeting your spirit guides, how to do this, automatic writing, how to do channeling, how to do any of that. So,
mm-hmm. All right, here's another $50,000 question. Why are people afraid of spirits? I mean, as witches, I think books and movies and TV play a big part in, you know, making witches very frightful, because showing benevolent spirits in a good light isn't very lucrative, or, you know, not going to bring in the guests and the audience. But why are people afraid of spirits, do you think?
I believe that we are hardwired to be afraid of the dark, to be afraid of the things we can't see. And so when the spirits come and there's someone talking to you and you can't see where the voice is coming from, or you can't see, or you're alone, you become like, oh, what, they're going to hurt me, you know, because I think we're hardwired for that. I think it's wired in with the fight or flight syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
The things that, the unseen is scary, because we can't put a label on it. We can't put a something, you know, we can't see it. Our senses can't bring it in. And so we become afraid of the things we don't understand, the things we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's hardwired in since the caveman days, because what you couldn't see could kill you at one point.
True. Yeah. Well, it still can.
Actually, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, so on the subject of scary ghosts, I mean, there are certainly angry, spiteful spirits that do come through and purposely want to either seek revenge or just, you know, like be nasty and like scaring people. And then there are the entities that are not human spirits that can be mm-hmm. mischievous or harmful. So how can people distinguish one from the other? Maybe not an easy question, but...
Actually, it is an easy question. We as humans confuse it. If it feels good, if it feels this is right, it's probably something benign. If it feels scary, it probably is something not benign. It literally comes down to how does it feel in your gut? And we're not, it's different than saying, oh, my mom who died 10 some years ago just showed up through the front door and she's sitting here now with us, Marla. I know that's a good thing. I know her energy. That's not a scary thing. But if something else came in with her that didn't feel so good, I'd want it gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think people don't trust their judgment. And you said, trust your gut. The other word is intuition. Trust your mm-hmm. intuition. And I don't know how to make people trust themselves. I can't talk somebody into doing that. But, you know, that's a hindrance, a big hindrance.
Yes, it is. When we don't have faith in ourselves and we don't believe we can even do this, a lot of it comes down, we don't believe we can make a difference. And that it's just somewhere along the line, we learn to not trust ourselves. And I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, I wish you did. You'd be a millionaire if you did.
I'll be writing that book next, right?
Yes. All right. So do you think there are people that are better off not getting involved in the metaphysical world?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of people should not do that?
This is, I'm not casting aspersions on any group of people, but bipolar, schizophrenic, people who have an organic problem with brain balancing should not, because they can get confused, they can get scary, they can get scared very easily, and the voices in their head, really? I hear voices in my head all the time,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
And so people with severe mental illness should not, other than that, people who are mean, nasty, should not, because they've already got a bad attitude.
Okay, but see, here's that thing on that one. I like this question, that thing, because people that are that way don't necessarily think of themselves being mean and nasty.
This is true. Which brings it all the way back full circle to your intuition.
There you go.
If you're going to the Cunandero down at the local Botanica, you might want to think twice about that. If you're seeing which is not to say that they're bad or whatnot. There's fakes in any culture, any society. There's fakes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very genuine people. It's, you have to use your intuition. It's when people come up to me when I'm doing events and they say, how do I know? How do I choose you over someone else? I said, does it feel right? If it feels right, sit down. If it doesn't, go to the next one. And so that's really kind of what it all comes down to, is using common sense. And does it feel like what I should do?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, since I do believe in past lives and reincarnation, I just wonder if old souls are more likely to get involved in the psychic realm rather than the newbies when they come back.
I don't think so, because they've been there before. They know what it's all like. They're connected. They're already wise. The older souls, the other ones that sit around and watch the kids screw up, see, they're the ones that you come to when, okay, what have I been doing wrong? Those are the wise teachers. They don't necessarily have to get involved until you ask them for help. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. But the soul thing leads me to another question that's always bothered me, because I don't know the answer, and maybe we don't, but where do new souls come from?
I had somebody ask me that, and my first thought was, I don't know, I don't have a clue, don't look at me.
Yeah.
Because at the time I didn't know, but I gave it a really quick thought, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, we started out, theoretically, we started out with two people, Adam and Eve, and now we've got 7 billion, and it's like, where do they come from? Well, they probably come from split souls. They probably come from other dimensions. They come from other worlds, other planets, other planes of existence. Because I've often made the statement that I'm done with planet Earth. I don't want to come back here again. I want to go on to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people say, I'm done. And then some people are so curious, well, I want to come back and see if I can do it better. Or I just don't want to miss out on things. Or, you know, I mean, we you come know, back for different reasons, no?
We do. We come back for different reasons. Sometimes we're sent back against our will. And I believe those are the ones who didn't heal enough on the other side. There are hospitals and doctors on the other side that help us through that transition. And especially if we committed suicide, we go to a hospital for rehab, so mm-hmm. to speak. Yes. And it's if we're not ready to come back and someone sends us back anyway, then we become more fragile, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're gung-ho and, yes, I want to come back and do it anyway, we lose our memories for a reason. Your soul mm-hmm. doesn't remember necessarily. And then the personality is like brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not supposed to remember those things for a reason.
Yeah, because we probably screwed up and we need to fix it. Exactly, or yeah. or maybe there's such a horrible memory that you really don't want to
exactly
remember that.
The only indicator are the patterns that you in your life. Who do you attract? What kind of jobs do you take? Who were you born to? Why was I born into this family? You just look at the patterns in your life to the issues that you didn't fix the last time.
Mm-hmm. And do you think when we do come back, do we all have a life plan before we come back? I mean, nobody comes back without some kind of guidance, no?
Yeah, we do. I am still very much up in the air about pre-birth contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I will talk about them, and I will say, yes, we have them, but I don't think every detail of your life is planned out.
Right.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, we have free will, so, you know, mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, if we wrote something and we have free will, we don't have to carry out what we wrote because...
No, we don't.
Nobody's going to tell us not to.
You know, and why it comes down to my ex-fiance and I had a contract. He broke his contract. It was null and void. I'm done with you. See ya. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, I didn't mean to screw up. And I'm like, I'm kind of glad you did. you know, so it's just because you have the pre-birth contract doesn't mean you're going to keep it when you're reborn. Mm-hmm. And 40 years later, you're having a child, and you had a horrible, crappy childhood, so you can just pass that along. That mm-hmm. wasn't part of the contract. That's not what they signed up for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, you know, sometimes but it stops and makes you think, because we all have rough spots on the road in our lives. And I'm like, why did I plot this out? I mean, gee, many crickets. You know, I must have been, you know, a mass murderer in my past life to make up for some of this stuff that's going on now. You know?
And the truth of it is, you probably were.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
We have all been really, really horrible people. We've all been saints. And part of it is learning the balance of between the two.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is kinder, gentler souls are the older souls that have already gone through all the gunk and also souls who just really get annoyed at newbies because they just don't know anything. It's like, oh my
yeah.
God, you've got so much to learn. You know, you get like a parent,
yeah.
get judgmental. Well, you'll find out one of these days kind of thing.
Exactly. And that's one take on it. That's what works for me and my belief system is that the kinder, the souls who've already gotten it and they've just come back to coast through a few lifetimes as a little vacation, kind of, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they don't necessarily have to pass it along.
Yeah. But then again, too, for just talking sake, a new spirit, a new soul could be a very open-minded one and learn very quickly. And that would be lovely. They wouldn't have to get all the hard.
the other side of that is the newbie who just came in. It's their first, second, or third lifetime, and they don't know what's going on. They just can't get it.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. don't know what life is all about or how to live it. And so there's a lot of mental issues. I'm not saying they're nuts or anything. I'm saying yeah. there are a lot of mental imbalances that go with that, as because if they don't know what's going on and they're confused all the time, the stress response kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly have known the airheads in this world who just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's where my previous life as a mass murderer comes in, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bad, evil thoughts. All right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about developing psychic abilities. I mean, it's the first step to mediumship, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're automatically a medium when you do that. So how do people who are interested in developing their psychic abilities get started?
It starts with meditation and practice. You sit in a room full of people who are all trying to contact other dead people, and you give messages to one another. It's a very spiritualist church kind of thing mm-hmm. to sit in a room and everybody practice giving messages. That's how it starts. Now, other things add to that. I only did this spiritualist thing, I guess, for about 3 years, maybe 4 years, maybe mm-hmm. Before I was like, oh, no, I'm done. I'm on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. I also went to massage school. As I was going through massage school and the energy work, I began to open up a lot more, and I began to become more aware of the energy around me and the energy in the people. And when I would massage the people or give them Reiki, their dead relatives would come in because I was so connected to them at that particular point. So there's many different ways to go about it. I just had to learn to trust myself.
So if somebody, I mean, there are a lot of people, I mean, I didn't develop any abilities for anything specific. I just opened up to mm-hmm. the metaphysical world. And as you go, more things come to mind. You get interested in other things. You take the next step. And so, you know, it's did I want to be clairsentient or clairaudient or whatever? No. And that happened. But I don't mind that because, you know, right. other than yelling
it's a
part
back. Of the process.
Yeah. Other than yelling at a spirit back in 3 a.m, it's okay. I mean, I can handle it. But I think people are kind of afraid that one thing will open every door, every portal, every bad thing. And that's not the case if you put your foot down, right?
No, if you put your foot down, you set boundaries with your children or with your boss or, you know, with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You set your boundaries there. You need to set your boundaries with spirit guides, too, or the spirits yeah. that come through.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you do the prayer work, you know, and sage and salt and all that to keep away the stuff that would harm you. Mm-hmm. You state what you will allow and what you won't allow, and you ask them, help me learn how to do this.
Yeah, be specific. That's kind of...
Very specific.
Yeah. And then, you know, at a certain point, those who want to, let's say, learn mediumship, they branch off and they can go to people like you and other people who will specifically point the way, right?
Yes. Sometimes it is a decision. Sometimes we don't get a decision. Our spirit guides say, this is what you're going to do. Because there's no other way it can happen. Like people who were born knowing how to play the piano.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way it can happen. And so sometimes their spirit guides don't give you a choice. It just happens, which is what happened to me. It just happened. I didn't ask for it. It just happened. Now, since it did just happen, I'm like, ooh, this is cool. I want more. And I began studying and practicing and all that. But I wasn't born this way.
All right. So it didn't worry you? You weren't kind of, you know, uh-oh kind of thing, and what am I going to do now? You had an open mind, apparently.
I had an open mind and an open heart to do the work, to do whatever spirit needed me to do. That was my only desire. And as it turned out, it is mediumship to row, and I write, and I paint and draw and stuff.
Yeah.
So spirit has me working in a lot of ways. So I guess maybe I just started out with soul portraits.
Soul portraits?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to tell people what soul portraits are?
Soul portraits is when I sit and meditate on someone who has commissioned a soul portrait or some. This particular case that I'm thinking of, it was, I channeled a painting. It was, I don't know how I did it. I don't know the specifics. I just channeled this painting. I got in there with my hands and brushes and glue and glass gloves. And so it hung in the gallery for quite a while. And then this lady came in and she says, I have to have that. And I'm like, okie dokie. Yours for $150.
Yeah.
So she's like, I have to have it. It brings me comfort. And I'm like, it's just a painting. Mm-hmm. Then she told me the story about why she was back in town. She was back in town for her mother's funeral. Her mother had died in a car accident. The painting was meant for her to soothe her soul and to help her through the transition of her mother's death. Mm-hmm. That's what spirit had me channeling in the painting.
So spirit knows ahead of time that somebody's going to see whatever you do without even commissioning it.
And, mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
That's really interesting.
That's happened more than once for me. And it's really, every time it does, my chin sort of falls to the floor. I'm going, what? Ooh, yeah. Pretty cool.
Wow. I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of your work is just there because it's there, you know. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily a message, but that's really interesting because mm-hmm. you hear about people who can draw pictures of spirit that they see, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's interesting that you get commissioned by spirit for somebody that will eventually see it and it will mm-hmm. be, you know, for their best interest. So did you have a particular path at some point that you decided to follow, or just the curiosity of what's next and opening more doors and everything, that you're just, it's like a smorgasbord of things.
Yeah. It's more, my life has been much more of a smorgasbord. It's just, I learned one skill and I realized, oh, there's more. Let's go get another one and let's go get another one. And I also, as you know, I'm an artist and I write. And I rarely have to practice any of those things mm-hmm. because with each one, spirit comes to me and gives me a new skill or teaches me something new, whether it be something very physical about how to do watercolor or some that is my meditation. So a lot of times when mm-hmm. I finish the painting or drawing or book or whatever, I'm like, oh, that's what I learned while I was doing that.
It's funny when the V8 moment hits, you know.
Yeah.
It takes a little while, but sometimes it really does.
It does pay off, yes.
This we kind of talked about a little bit earlier, but another question came in. It says, what about if someone kind of develops those abilities without even trying and wants to shut them down for whatever reason? How do you just close yourself off completely, or can you completely?
Yes, you can. There are several ways to do it. Back in the day, you and I are old enough to probably remember this, or maybe it's just me. Psychics used to do alcohol or drugs to turn on their abilities mm-hmm. and then do alcohol and drugs to turn it off. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend that way.
Mm-mm.
But it was the changing the balance in their brain through the chemically. Mm-hmm. You can do that with meditation. You can say to your spirit guides, no, I don't want this. Take it away.
Maybe they don't even want the spirit guides.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true too. But most people will talk to their angels. Most angels are very universal. They don't belong to any one religion, but we all believe in them mm-hmm. in some form or another. And so we will go to, you know, an angel and say, you know, take this away. A lot of times they just refuse it. And a lot of times if they don't want it, it's called schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And you wind up on all kinds of medication and you wind up how many people sitting in, you know, mental hospitals now because they hear voices in their head, or, and the voices are real, they just want to turn them off.
Mm-hmm.
So learning how to turn them, going to a practitioner or a shaman to help you turn it off is a much better alternative than claiming to be schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about voices in the head. Now, I get voices in my ear from spirit outside, but a lot of the messages that come through, I don't, well, we, it's hard to explain. We say we hear it, and we kind of do, but we kind of don't, right? I mean, I...
Sometimes it's an actual hearing. Sometimes it is a knowing. Sometimes they just, it's like a coin slot, and they put the idea in the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's that becomes the, you just know. How mm-hmm. do I know? I don't know. I just know. I really, that's clairsentience. But
yeah,
it's, they just, they, your spirit guides or angels put it in your head and you know it.
Yeah, and I think that confuses people, because when you talk about crazy people having, you know, people talking in their head, it might be different than what we're hearing. And so when you tell somebody that's not familiar with the metaphysical that, you know, I have voices in my head, you know, they're going to call for the straitjacket.
Yes, they are. They're going to tell you you need medication. People like you and me would say, yay, finally, you're hearing it.
Yeah.
But it can be very frightening to someone who is unaware. Someone
yeah.
who grew up in a family where it wasn't normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. I think now, today, this time, people are more open to it
mm-hmm.
than back,
so.
Back way back when. But, you know, I think it went through a process, because I think inherently the older, like back in caveman time or something, they were open to everything, and they believed in that, and they were very superstitious, and, you know, in a lot of millennium that goes by. And then all of a sudden, it stopped. People said,
for
no, that,
reason.
Yeah, there, it, you know, this isn't happening, and you know, this is all BS and all the other stuff. And that went on for years and years and years. And now, finally, I think in the 20th century, we started to open up again to it. And that's really important. Really, really
yes.
important. All right. So before we run out of time, I think you want to talk about, and I want you to talk about, give you a moment to talk about the classes that you offer in psychic development and mediumship, tarot, Gypsy cards, the Akashic records, and past life readings as well. You do a whole lot of stuff.
Yes, I do. And the easiest way I learned all that stuff was just start writing about it. And all that, it was most of my work is just, it just has come. So I think it was all basically spirit led. But yeah, if you want to learn anything that I teach, which comes down to all that stuff you just said, Akashic records, tarot, I am more than happy to do Skype lessons, Facebook rooms. Sometimes it's just one person sitting there in their front of their computer, and we're talking, and we're doing the work, and we're doing the meditation. So on my YouTube page or will be shortly, there's not so many right now, but there will be shortly a lot of meditations for just this sort of thing, because I've been called also to step up my practice, both with my artwork and with the mediumship. So as long as they're telling me to step up, I'm going to be doing more social media stuff to reach more people.
Mm-hmm.
But I will, yes, all you got to do is contact me, and we will set up appointments and times and to figure out what it is you need or what it is you want to learn. All I ask is that you make the commitment. Don't just, you know, come to like the first part of the class. Oh, I got to go and, you know, never see you again. But you need to be serious about this.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not my time you're wasting, because you're paying me for my time. It's your time and money that you're wasting if you're not serious about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes people get scared or whatever and decide it's not for them. But if they just say,
well, okay, honest about it,
that's
though.
Exactly what I was going to say, you know, just tell you that I thought this was going to work this way, but it isn't for me. And thank you for your time and all that, rather than, you know, well, I'm just going to see what happens and then I'm going to disappear. Poof, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's important. So and tell everybody, first of all, where they can find you, and then about your weekly show.
Oh, okay. I can be found on Facebook under Edith Mary Stanley. I can be found on YouTube under Edith Mary Stanley. Every Wednesday, we go live on my Facebook page. We're building up our equipment fund so that we can have better equipment to run an actual studio, not just my dining room. Basically, I started out with my phone in the dining room, and now we're up to, yes, we're going to be adding a webcam and the picture-in-a-picture kind of thing. And so we are growing, but every Wednesday night at 7:30 Central Standard Time on my Facebook page live, we do the first, it's about an hour and a half long. The first part is tarot. We do mini readings. My psychic partners, Sarah and her daughter, Casey, we do mini tarot readings. And then when we're all done with that, we start in on the mediumship, where we try and talk with your loved ones from the other side. A lot of people, they just want to talk to their spirit guides. What do they have to tell me? Am I doing the right thing? You know, So we spend the last part of the show doing that. Okay. And a lot of hijinks in between.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, nothing is good without hijinks.
Gosh, no.
Yeah. All right. So I'm already getting people asking me to have you back on. So we'll do. Aww. We'll talk about that. Yes.
That's so sweet.
And in the meantime, I want to thank you for tonight. I hope we kind of spread the word and answered some questions, and we'll make it happen again.
Well, so, thank you. I would love that.
Good.
And thank all your listeners for me. I appreciate their feedback and their questions.
I will, and some of them heard it right now, so we're good to go. And I want to thank them for listening in, because otherwise, I mean, you and I could talk for hours, but it's nice that we could share with other people as well. So you all for listening in, whether you're live or on podcast. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.